This is the St. John's Birkdale Talk for Sunday, the 21st of May, and my name is Sally Wright. We continue today looking at our series through the book of Nehemiah, and the talk is entitled Don't Give Up. For those of you who haven't been with us for the series so far, we've been hearing about a huge task. Nehemiah had been told about the issue with the walls of Jerusalem. They'd been broken down and they were in ruins. We hear how this affected the people of Jerusalem and how he felt their pain profoundly. The city was unprotected and had lost any sense of pride or status. The city was broken. We then heard how Nehemiah had become the leader, the foreman, if you like, of the great rebuild, getting the support of the king and then creating and inspiring teams to build their part of the wall. And last week we heard of criticism and discouragement that he encountered from those around him who were trying to get him off track and to sap his enthusiasm and drive for the task in hand. And here in chapter 6, we find again that Nehemiah is challenged and had to find some way to navigate through the attacks and not give up. The intensity of the conflict rose when the job was near completion. In what appears to be a last-ditch attempt to thwart Nehemiah's efforts, Sanballat, Tobiah and Geshem join forces to oppose him. The distraction of this opposition was in danger of preventing the task being completed. Distraction. It's defined as something that interferes with our concentration or something that takes our attention away from something else. Have you ever had to deal with the issue of distraction? I'm sure that lots of us can think of ways that we can be distracted from something that we're supposed to be doing. I know that around our house, we have things that need to be done, but we allow other things to distract us and keep us away from what we need to be doing. Having heard about the great progress and organisation on rebuilding the walls in previous weeks, today we see that all was not rosy for Nehemiah. Here in chapter 6, we can see that there are still many who do not want to see this wall completed. In chapter 2 and chapter 4, we read that there were several people against the completion of the wall. And here again in chapter 6, we see that they are rearing their ugly heads yet again. So listen to chapter 6, verses 1 to 9. When word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I'd not set the doors in the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me with this message, "Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono." But they were scheming to harm me. So I sent messages to them with this reply, "I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you?" 4 times they sent me this message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Then, the 5th time, Sanballat sent his aides to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written, "It is reported amongst the nation, and Geshem says it's true, that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are rebuilding the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king, and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king, so come, let us meet together." I sent him this reply, "Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your head." They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will be too weak for the work. It will not be completed. But I prayed Now strengthen my hands. What we see here is desperation mode from those who did not want the wall finishing. What they had tried so far had failed to stop Nehemiah and his team. And so they were trying a new attack to attack Nehemiah's character. What they knew was that if the wall was completed, they would lose all the influence and power that they had enjoyed over the Jews living in that area. They decided the only way to stop the project was to get rid of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah in this chapter faced huge distractions, and we're going to look at a couple of them this morning. Firstly, the distraction of diversion. In verse 2 we read, "Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono." The wall was really completed, except for hanging the doors, and these men invited him to be diverted from the job to go and meet them in Ono. Nehemiah responded by saying, "Oh no." He responded to the diversion with a question, "Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? I'm carrying on a great project and cannot go down." They asked him the same thing four times, and four times he gave the same answer. Do we find it easy to keep strong when we're being diverted from what God is asking us to do? When we see a sign in the road ahead of us that says diversion, you know, one of those big yellow ones with the big black arrow pointing in the opposite direction than you want to go, how do you feel? I'm pretty sure that no one has ever seen one of those on a journey and thought, "Oh, that's good. We get to go in a different direction than we'd planned and maybe add miles to our journey too." Diversions are not planned parts of our journey. And whilst they may get us to the same destination in the end, they're often longer, less direct, may take us down a narrower road, and at the very least take us off course. Nehemiah knew that this diversion wouldn't benefit him or the work on completing the wall. It didn't matter how many times he was asked, he declined to alter his course. And we may be tempted by diversions at times. They could even seem like a pleasant distraction from a mundane or difficult task that we're doing. Maybe we think that going off course surely can't hurt for a while, can it? But in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, we read, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." God wants to provide us with straight paths as we acknowledge him in our lives. So like Nehemiah, we need to be strong to resist the distraction of diversions. And secondly, Nehemiah faced the distraction of lies. They started to say that Nehemiah was going to lead a revolt and wanted to be king. They threatened him, saying that this report would get back to the king. Nehemiah listened to this, but saw it for what it was. These lies were meant to frighten him and the workers and stop them finishing the job. And what did Nehemiah do? Well, we've seen him do so many times before during this series. He prayed. He prayed, "Now strengthen my hands." When opposition builds up against you or God's work, it's tempting to ask God to get you out of the situation. But Nehemiah didn't do that. Nehemiah prayed for strength. They then hired a man to tell Nehemiah that men were coming to kill him and he better hide in the temple. And Nehemiah realised that God had not sent this man, and that again this lie was meant to intimidate and discredit him as a leader. People perhaps would want to look at him like a coward if that's what he did. Have people spread lies about you? misrepresented something that you've said, or deliberately twisted a conversation. It's so hurtful when that happens. And it's always, as I found anyway, to be out of selfish ambition on the other person's side, deliberately trying to harm you in some way. Nehemiah was experiencing this, the distraction of lies, false accusations. They thought that he would be so desperate to clear his name and so panicked about the consequences of the lies that he would stop building and give in to the distraction. But no, instead he turned to prayer. He asked for strength, strength to carry on. And we must have that same outlook, asking for strength to carry on, even if people are spreading false accusations, trying to intimidate us to back off from to know what is God's will, God's way. Nehemiah said, "Should a man like me run away? Or should someone like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go." We need to be ready to stand up to the distractions and say, "I will not. I will not respond to lies. I will not retaliate. I will not do it." When people tell us things with authority, sometimes those leading our churches even, we need to go back to our core principle. Is this message consistent with what is in God's word? With what is in the Bible? Nehemiah's enemies were tenacious, threatening, intimidating and plausible. They tried to come across as though they were helping Nehemiah, that they had his back, his best interests at heart. But God had given Nehemiah wisdom to see what they were doing, trying to distract him from God, from what God wanted him to do. Nehemiah stood firm. He fully relied on God, praying about all the situations he faced, and having resisted the temptations and distractions, what do we see at the end of chapter 6? The wall was completed in 52 days. What an achievement, and what a testimony to teamwork and leadership through reliance on God. We read at the end of the chapter, "When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realised that this work had been done with the help of our God." Even Nehemiah's enemies knew that this was an act of God. The fact that this remarkable feat was accomplished in an amazingly brief time was pointing to the greatness of God. They said it couldn't be done. The job was too big. The problem's too great. Does that sound like anything you've ever faced? God has a big task for you. You might be in the middle of it now or about to embark on it. And how should we face up to a big task? Well, don't be distracted. Don't be discouraged. Expect challenges and make sure that you are vigilant for attack. The wall was completed in 52 days. Don't let the size or length of time needed to accomplish a task keep you from doing it, whether that be in your own life or in the life of our church. You may sit here this morning thinking back to that slide that Tim showed us of the length and the width of the wall, plus all the gates, and think that it is impossible for it to have been completed in just 52 days. Perhaps the timing is skewed, or were the days 24 hours like our days? Knowing as we do how long it takes workmen to set up ready to start the work, let alone complete things in our experience, how can it possibly just be 52 days? Those are all understandable questions and queries, but with God, anything is possible. All things are possible. Why do we limit God within our thinking? I wonder whether some of you listening today are beginning to get fatigued about the book of Nehemiah. It seems to be all about us doing something for God, a big task. Am I really wanting to be challenged week after week about partaking in a big task? Well, let me ask you this. Are you sitting listening to this morning as a Christian? A child of God who has had the ransom for their sins paid on the cross by Jesus. Someone who is healed from the pain and suffering of their sin and their relationship with God healed. A person who is restored by God. Someone young or old who is forgiven and can have a living relationship with Jesus. As the old hymn puts it, you are ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Is that you or me this morning? How can any of us sit back and not take on this task, however big it is at times, of rebuilding God's kingdom one life at a time? If we can help to change one life at a time, think of where that can lead. Our hope is in God and our help is from God. God is bigger than any task he asks us to do. Let's block out the distractions and keep on building until we finish the task. Amen. Let's just pray. Father God, we thank you for the example of Nehemiah, how he fully relied on you to help him block out distractions and focus on the task you had given him. Help us to know you are bigger than any task that you set us. Our hope is in you and our help is from you. Help us never to give up. Amen.